This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
And read our scripture again. It's coming from Exodus 14:14, and I will be reading the New International Version. And it says, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Let us go to God in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this day, and I thank you for all your many blessings, Lord, everything that you've given us. I thank you for this church, and I thank you for my family, Lord, and I thank you for this class of 2020. And I pray that as I speak, that you would move through me and that I would give the message that you would have me to give, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Greetings to my godparents, Reverend and Sister Tillman, to my parents, my extended family who are here, to my First African Baptist Church family, guests, and to my fellow graduates. We have made it through the last week. This last semester, we are here. When I began preparing for today, so many things were running through my mind. I prayed on and thought about several different topic options, trying to tie in graduation with the current events and the civil unrest that's going on, and I came to rest within righteous anger. For me, the summer after ninth grade was a journey of all sorts. I attended many camps and retreats, but one of the most impactful and memorable was the Chrysalis Spiritual Retreat with Walk to Emmaus. I had heard so much about the Walk to Emmaus from my parents and was both excited and hesitant about the next 3 days. They sent me off with a group of teenage girls out in the woods of Tattnall County, Georgia, all of us just trying to get closer to God. We were removed from the outside world, no cell phones, radios, not even an analog clock. They split us into small groups with two adults each to guide us and support us. And each day we received 5 talks, each over a variety of topics, and then had roundtable discussions where we were able to share candidly and receive biblically based advice. I did mention I was going through a journey, right? At this point in my life, I was in a very vulnerable position, having to navigate some family related things and attempting to understand the why and heal from a buildup of sexually traumatic experiences. I was lost in every sense of the word, attempting to find a light. And after one particular talk during that weekend, to this day I do not remember the topic of, I got really deep during the table discussion. I flayed my insecurities, my fears, my hesitations, all on the table, and my assistant table leader, the person responsible for my small group, shared with me the scripture I read earlier, Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. A verse that truly could not have come at a more perfect time in my life. For context, this verse appears during the middle of the Israelites' exodus from Egypt. Moses led them out of Egypt, taking the rather scenic route, and Pharaoh, seeing or thinking that the people of Israel were lost, saw it as an opportunity to recapture them. Now I know, and you know, that God had and always will have a plan, right? So in this case, his plan was to test the faith of his people and again to remind Pharaoh that those people were covered and that God is almighty and all powerful. Unfortunately, the Israelites failed that test of faith. Once they realized Pharaoh was in pursuit and in position to overtake them, they so very quickly forgot what God had just done for them not too long ago right in Egypt. They began to blame God for their current situation and even wished that they had died of old age and hard labor enslaved in Egypt rather than die by the might of Pharaoh in the wilderness. And Moses responded to their cries in kind, with encouragement, and with that verse 14, again uplifting that the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. I say all that to say that in the struggle and fight for our lives, our rights, our human dignity, we need moments of stillness. We need moments of quiet for us to tap out momentarily and for God to tap in, really tap in, tap into us, which is something I can say I'm guilty of, running and going until I'm on fumes and then realizing, oh, I should probably rest. Oh, I haven't even read my Bible today. All of those sorts of things. But stillness does not mean we stop. It's a pause so we can rest, reflect, and resume. And to those who again read that verse, that the Lord will fight for you and that you need only to be still, will take that as their verse. They'll take it and say, oh, well, God will do it. I don't have to correct the racist or anti-black remarks of my family members. I don't have to reprimand my friends for fat-shaming people. I don't have to curve and redirect locker room talk because God will handle it. He'll get them right. God also has in his word multiple calls to action, to seeking justice, and not just in the biblical or spiritual sense. God most definitely moves in mighty and mysterious ways, but he also put in his word, right there in Micah 6:8, that he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. In Isaiah 1:17, he says, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, and please the widow's cause. Yeah. See, the different power structures we're up against want nothing more than for us to stay quiet and compliant. But prayer and supplication is a refusal to do that. Writing, speaking, and art are a refusal to do that. Marching and actions are refusal to lay down and be quiet and compliant. Conversations that move beyond the theoretical are a way to do that as well. See, because for too long, the church as a whole has been too silent, too complacent when it comes to certain uncomfortable issues, when it comes to controversial matters. It shouldn't be controversial that Black lives actually matter, regardless if you agree with the organization's platform or not. It shouldn't be controversial that women are human beings deserving of respect and dignity. It should not be controversial to live by the golden rule and to do unto others what you would like them to do unto you. See, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, he led the example by being radical. And yes, I said it, radical. He was in no ways popular or even favored by the government or religious leaders. He loved his enemies, prioritized the marginalized, and exposed wealth inequality. Think about Matthew, the tax collector who my dad says was essentially a member of the mafia, and how God called him into being in his ministry. I think of the love and kindness he showed to the woman at the well who was ridiculed by our community for being adulterous. I think of the story of the Good Samaritan. Samaritans whom the Jews demonized much in the same way that Black and brown people are characterized today. And I think about the story of the rich young ruler and one of the most notable displays of Jesus' passion, the flipping of the temple tables in response to people using the house of worship for personal profit. See, the church is uniquely positioned to speak up and speak out, to speak life and to speak liberation. The amount of influence that First African Baptist alone has combined with the rest of the churches downtown, within the city, the county, the state, the U.S., and the global church. We need to stand with the movement for Palestinian liberation, the movement for Black lives, the Me Too movement. We all should be condemning our nation's leaders for his rhetoric that is inciting violence. And we should be against children being placed in cages, whether it's at the U.S. border or in YDCs. Amen. See, one thing that my parents and my family have taught me is that when wrong is going on, when somebody is hurting me, I let the authority figure know. They told me to let the people with power know what's going on. Well, destruction and seizure of private property sure is a way to get the folks in charge attention, huh? And I'm not coming across the pulpit to incite or encourage violence. I'm just noting that sometimes unconventional methods are necessary. I think of my graduating class, the class of 2020, a class that has faced so much adversity, and yet here we are with our caps and gowns today. Here we are proud of our accomplishments and ready to take the next steps in our lives. We obtained our degrees and diplomas respectively through unconventional methods. We transferred to online schooling halfway through our spring semester with a large number of both students and faculty having no experience educating and being educated remotely. Unconventional, and yet again, here we are. The journey has already started. And we, the fearless and oh-so-resilient class of 2020, will continue to lead the charge to innovate. We will continue to push for radical change. We will continue to help heal the generational trauma of our villages. And I ask that we continue to lean on each other as we always have. A miracle is waiting on us. We are still the class that has shaken the world and has caused everyone to rethink what we know as normal. We are still powerful and beautiful beyond our ancestors' wildest dreams. We have worked hard, and even a global crisis should not dim the light that shines on this auspicious occasion. Knowing that everyone who started this journey with us has not made it to the finish line, I want to say thank you. Thank you for the ways that each individual has molded and shaped the class of 2020 to be the rising young adults that are before you today. I stand here today proud of my class because I know the many sacrifices and hardships that we have suffered collectively. And I am grateful to those who were able to grieve some of those losses together personally. I believe proudly that the class of 2020 has accomplished so much. And all I really can say is, but God. He saw fit to use this moment in time to help expose the social ills of this world to all peoples. Again, we are standing here today, standing with our loved ones in the physical, and we are standing here today with those in the spiritual realm as well. God saw fit to use these troubling times to draw us nearer to him, to bring us into his word, to help us lean on and look to him for direction. I think most of y'all might know this song, but it goes like, people get ready, because a train is coming. You don't need any baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need a ticket, you just thank the Lord. And I thank God every day. Thank you.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GiveLify. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.